whom God has put us over.
This meeting is now being recorded.
If your ministry is going to move to another level, the anointing level must move. And the anointing, we'll find out some of the things the anointing is not. The anointing is the work of the Holy Spirit, taking a portion from the ordinary into an extraordinary stance in the realm of the Spirit. Jesus' ministry didn't start out till he was really anointed by the Holy Spirit. If you look in Luke 4:14, after he was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, saying Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. It was that anointing that did that. And then if you look at verse 22, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious word which proceeded out of his mouth. And they say, it is not this Joseph's son, but his words had changed. You see, everything changed. The anointing changes everything. See, a lot of time, ministers have thought that if they, I know some ministers practice their sermon, and they think if they have a good outline and a good sound, that it's producing divine results, but it's not. It's not. Enticing word will not produce divine results. So what our aim is as a group, as we lighting your torch and making your torch brighter, you all been in the ministry a long time, but you haven't been in too long to understand there are always levels of anointing that you need to go to. And then we need to covet the best gift, the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12. We must not try to minister without those gifts. We cannot, those gifts operate as the Spirit will, so you just have to pray about them. And the most excellent way, the Bible tells us, is the way of love. And it put prophesying ahead of it, that you can speak a prophetic oracle word over people as the Spirit leads, not something we just think of. You know, a lot of times we see all kind of things going on. So how to move your ministry to another level is concentrating on the anointing. Praying in the Spirit and listening to instruction is very important. When I pray in the Spirit privately, I always have a pen and a pad and get some of my greatest instruction. I constantly pastor this church, be your leader by yielding to the anointing, because I know I can't do it myself. Some of y'all are a whole lot more intellectual, smarter than I am. But by the Spirit of God, I yield to the Holy Ghost and ask him to help me. So, again, I want to go over some footnotes on the place of the anointing in ministry, the place of the anointing in ministry. The anointing now, is, in every word, is a divine enablement. In other words, it's an unction, it's a prompting. It's a power that does not exist in school. It comes from the Holy Spirit. Now, we talked a few weeks ago, a few months ago, about the prescribed order of victory, Jesus Christ and him crucified, which is the finished work of Christ, which summed everything up. Jesus summed everything up from Genesis on to Revelation in him dying on the cross, because that was the ultimate price that was paid. We found out that to a large degree in the body of Christ, they pulled that cross out as a place of shame, but the Bible calls it the place of power. So we have our faith in that finished work. No matter what area we're dealing in the spirit realm or what doctrine, that it gives the Holy Spirit unlimited movement in our lives, in our ministry. And brothers and sisters, this is what we want. We want the unlimited movement, a moving of the Holy Spirit in our preaching, in our teaching, our supervision as a pastor, or whatever office we stand in. We want the Holy Spirit in charge and be able to move in his unlimitedness. And that's what that prescribed order of victory that comes through understanding that our faith must base the foundation of our faith in Jesus Christ and him crucified. So then we can move on to the place of the anointing. Now, one of the first things that I was taught, the first thing that we need to know and it's very simple, but yet it's astonishing. The anointing, and I want to say it this way, it got the anointing is not a feeling, but I'll say it this way, the anointing is not just a feeling, because when the anointing, as I sense the presence of God now, when the anointing comes on me, there is a tangible feeling that comes with it. It's not a feeling. It's an overwhelming aspect of God's power producing itself through you as an instrument. Producing itself through you as an instrument because the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. So the other world shows up through you in a dimension to show men that God is greater than everything else. But the anointing, we must look for this. The anointing, it is a force. It is a spiritual force that calls the supernatural to manifest, that calls the supernatural to demonstrate itself in our midst as we do ministry in the name of the Lord Jesus. It is a force. It's dynamic in its working. And we must have an understanding that when we preach, when we teach, when we administrate things in the realm of the Spirit, it is so important that we understand that force is with us to carry it out in a divine manner. In ministry, in the spirit world, nothing is done without the anointing. Nothing is done. It has to be there. You know, we got favorite scriptures about the anointing. We got Luke 4:18. We got Isaiah 10:27. We got 1 John 2:20. 1 John 2:27. I've been having those scriptures with me a long time because I recognize that we need to be anointed to be taught right, to enter into the spirit world, to do anything in power. The anointing has to be there. Another small statement, it seems like, but yet I believe it's going to bring promotion to our ministry. The anointing make things work. The anointing make things work. Now, I might have gone over these things with you before, but the Lord is breathing on me about these things this morning. The anointing make things work. So as you pray in the Spirit and listen for instruction and waiting on the Holy Ghost, things that does not seem like they're going to work, they'll work. Now, Jesus, in the 14th chapter of John, explained to his disciples when Philip wanted to know what the way was. Jesus said, you've been with this a long time, you don't know that I am the way, the truth, and the life. But then he explained the works, the words that he spoke, and the works that Jesus did, he said the Father was doing them. That's very important. The works that Jesus was doing, all the miracles he performed, he gave credit to the work, to the Father. Same thing as he go down to John 14:12, said, we'll be able to do the work he did and even greater works because, that word because, that now the Father in the aspect of the Holy Spirit lives in us. So the anointing recognize, the anointing will cause us to recognize that you are not doing a thing. Your job is to yield as you preach, pause, salah, wait on the Holy Ghost. Don't get afraid of their faces. Or if somebody comes to you for counseling, you have to trust that it is the Father in you doing the work, not you. And it keeps us from pride and arrogance and things that will hinder the Holy Spirit from moving in our lives as he should. My concern, brothers and sisters, is that our ministry levels must move. We must not stagnate. We must not have the same circle going round and round. Our ministry should be moving all the time. Now, what you talking about moving? I'm not talking about just numerically, people-wise, or finance-wise. I'm talking about a growth in our inner man, strengthened by his spirit, by his might in our inner man. These things, I think, are going to give us significant validation and proof in our ministries that what we're doing is not just a host. In other words, we're not just having an organization. We're not just looking to a man or just looking to a certain group. No, we're just binding our fellowship together to go further. And it's in the will of the Father. But I want to see progress in your ministry. I want to hear a report of progress. Some things happen. You're going to another level. And this is the way we're going to get there. The work of the ministry can be hard, and it can become impossible without the anointing. It can be a hassle. It can be a struggle. But I've shared with you my tests turn into testimonies. When I'm talking to you about the things that have happened to me, please understand I'm just trying to share with you how I believe that God has given me success in my ministry. As many ministers have success, but you and I will hook together, so I'll share from my 38 years of ministry how I have not seen struggles. The more I learn about the anointing, the more I yield myself, the lighter my assignment becomes. It's sort of like Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor. In other words, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The anointing caused that to happen. Now, we know that there's no such thing as a spiritual anointing without the word. You know, we know the word is spirit and life. But we're talking about this aspect of the Holy Spirit that we need to constantly yield to, no matter what level we think we are, how many people God has put us over, how few people God has put us over. We have to always understand that the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the divine enablement, is the very thing that will cause the word to go higher. It will cause your ministry levels to go higher, your ability to function in spiritual things to go higher. So the work of the ministry is not possible without the anointing. There's nothing God has called you to do is possible without the anointing. The anointing, it provides solutions to every human problem, no matter its intensity or how long the history or longevity. In other words, see, that puts you in a position to function in a godlike manner. That anointing knows the past, the present, and the future, and there's nothing exists that it cannot deal with. We must understand, brothers and sisters, also that ministry is a divine assignment, our calling, the things that God has called us to do. So mundane method, worldly method, formulas that I see many times in the art of ministry, men trying to have their way. But this is a divine assignment, so we're going to need consistently by praying in the Spirit, get in the presence of the Lord Jesus, stand before the presence of the Holy Spirit, that divine enablement, because that's another aspect of defining the anointing. It's a divine enablement. We'll see further down the line that when the anointing come on you strong enough, you turn into another man or you turn into another woman. It's the simplicity of the anointing, but yet it's very complicated. Because the simplicity is that it makes things real easy and you sample people. But on the other hand, the power and the wisdom that it produces in every given situation, no matter what you're dealing with right now in your ministry, no matter where, what door you need open, what oppression you need to move, that simplicity plus complication of the anointing, if a person will yield to the Spirit, not look to man and not look to a group, the Spirit always will give you that divine enablement to move in that divine assignment that God has given you. And another way to say it, it requires a divine enablement for performance. I always like when Abraham switched from natural hope to supernatural hope Romans 4, when he was dealing with that promise God had given him. But then he comes to the point that he said he was fully persuaded that God was able to perform what he had promised. Well, that's through a move of a divine enablement of the Spirit and kick out into the realm of the supernatural. The apostles, we read about the apostles, could not occupy their places of calling until they were endued with power from on high. Now, We have to come to the grip with the fact that these are everyday functioning. In other words, I don't wait for the anointing to wake for me Sunday morning or Saturday night. I wake up seeking the anointing every day of my life. I don't look for the anointing just because I got to come with all these different gifts in the body of Christ, you all, to get anointed for this morning. No, every day. When I don't have no teaching assignment, when I don't have no preaching assignment, I know that if I don't operate in anointing, I'm dead. In other words, I will not be able to function as God desires for me to function. So another way to say it, and I want you to catch this, the anointing is the fuel you require to take off. It's like in my jet, there's certain jet fuel I have to put in. I can't go downtown and just get a can from a station and put it in that jet. That jet got to have special fuel. We must, my brothers and sisters, have special fuel. I hope today, this impartation today, change your life. You ask God, give me, Lord, I got to have that special fuel. Sometimes our ministry is not moving because we're running on regular fuel. We're copycatting, imitating somebody else, and we're not spending time with God for ourselves. Sure, I read books. I get a lot of outlines out of books. But I tell you what, my spirit already be divinely trained to handle, and I know it's a revelation from God. In other words, I'm saying to you that you're going to have to somewhat be original in the anointing. In other words, one-on-one, you and God. That is so important because each one of you all are unique in your own way. You're unique because God, that's why God called you, because of your uniqueness. And you've got to let your original uniqueness come out for the function in the anointing like God desires for you to function. Yes, I wear different mantles. I recognize different people have touched my life. Absolutely. But there's a uniqueness in my life that they couldn't give me because God gave it to me. So you have to also, that special fuel, you have to have that fuel in order to fly at the level God wants you to fly at any given time. Another thing is that there's no mountain that can stand before the Spirit of the Lord inside of a man. And I know that for a fact. I've seen some mountains and obstacles that try to stand and block my ministry, and you're going to have that. Some of you are not where God wants you to be because you've been letting those things block you and you try to fight it manually. But I want you to try to, when the Lord spoke to Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20, after he had prayed and done everything he could do, he comes to the conclusion, Lord, I don't know what to do, but I got my eyes on you. We got to come to that point in ministry many times. And then supernaturally, by the Spirit, God will speak a word to our heart by someone, directly by the Holy Spirit, or when we're reading the Scripture, and we'll get that word, and God give us divine instruction. If you notice in 2 Chronicles 20, those instructions really don't make no sense. And that's where you start operating in the supernatural. Then the Lord said, the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That's mountains in your life or in your ministry are there for a reason. They're for exercise. They're for to bring you to another level, for to show you the divine ability that God had placed on the inside of you. So Satan set the trap, and then God shows you how to trip the trap and remove the trap to get you ready for the next level. If David had not killed a bear, if David had not killed a lion in the anointing, he could not have killed Goliath in the anointing. So if you're going through something now, don't panic. Ask God to show you how to turn that obstacle into a miracle opportunity. Because the miracle is always, every time something comes in your life that you can't handle, there's a miracle that comes with it. Obstacles are turned to miracles and barriers to breakthrough for a man filled with the anointing. Let me say that again. Obstacles are turned to miracles and barriers to breakthrough for a man filled or a woman filled with the anointing. You want to stay anointed. Ministry is not by the strength of man. how can I say this without being negative? In our own strength, when it comes down to the spirit world, the Bible says God has chosen the foolish thing to confine the world. Then 1 Corinthians, I read that for devotion this morning, the first chapter and the second chapter holds meat for the anointing and demonstration of the spirit and how the supernatural cannot be understood by the natural. And in that first chapter, Paul is dealing with man have a problem with the cross, the message of the cross. They have a problem, they're ashamed of it. They have a problem in how weak it look, but yet it's the power of God. So we got to keep that element of the cross, of the work of the cross before us if we're going to have a strong anointing and let the Holy Spirit reveal to us the making of that whole thing. Because, again, ministry is not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. See, at that scripture, not by might, nor by power. See, a lot of things by might and power, our own might, our own power, and our own strength, we try to do things in ministry, but it does not work. The Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Well, that bespeaks Christ, the anointed one, yoke destroying and burden removing power of God. We know that Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, is Jesus' resurrection name. The Lord Jesus Christ. He's Lord, he's Savior, and he is the anointed one. It is by the Spirit of God that anoints. The anointing is the Spirit of God coming on us. The anointing is a fundamental requirement for the take-all and ultimate execution of any commission. I want to give you that again. If you're writing, I want you to get that. The anointing is a fundamental requirement for the take-off and ultimate execution of any commission. Take-off, ultimate execution. You need the anointing for that. I don't care how much material you got. I don't care who you made contact with. My brothers and sisters here in LTMA, we know we need the anointing to take off, and we need the anointing to bring forth the ultimate execution of any commission that God has given us. I want you to take a hold of that. I want you to eat on that. I want you to bite on that. You can sweat greatly, but great sweat does not equal to great impact. You can have great zeal, but it still does not bring accomplishment. So, you know, I remember a time back that Creflo and I was preaching in London, and we were talking about a sweatless anointing. In other words, just trusting the Holy Ghost to function in our lives like never before. And he did. I think these words will take your ministry to another level. It go back to the prophesied word, a prophetical word God gave me. Get ready to receive like never before. Unusual blessing. These things come through the anointing. All blessing will be unblocked this year. You remember I gave that before. Now in Luke 4:16, I'm going to go a little long. Luke 4:16, been going about 29 minutes. Luke 4:16, Jesus had been going to the synagogue before, as his custom was, but then he goes to the 18th verse and he announced what would cause his ministry to go to one level to another. He started anointing some things that he's going to do, because in Luke 4:18, because the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Prior to the anointing coming upon Jesus, he had zeal and other things, but his ministry wasn't functioning like it should function. He had the zeal, and he probably was preaching, but it made little or no impression on the people. We cannot let that happen to us. We cannot preach by zeal, sweat, and labor, and it has no effect on the people. We cannot. I tell you what to do. If you're not having an effect on your people preaching, just take my sermon and preach them. I started out with not much effect, but when I minister now, I have effect because over the years I've practiced the anointing. I have pursued the anointing. I have positioned myself. I've come into enough maturity to position myself under the anointing that it can have an impact on the people. You see, the day when the anointing was on Jesus, the Bible said that when he read in Luke 4:20, said the eyes of all them that was in the synagogue was fastened on him, and said they wondered at the gracious word which proceeded out of his mouth. It was the same Jesus, the same word, but he had a divine enablement. And that's what will light our torch above the average ministry or minister. See, this day was his beginning. And call it, this day was the day of the anointing. This day was the day of the anointing. Now, you know when your position changed. Now, you can get satisfied, or you can get in the survival mode, or you can soar like an eagle. It's very important that I emphasize this to you. It may sound elementary to some. You say, oh, I know that. Yeah, knowing it and putting it in practice is two different things. It took me years to come to these points. I'm still, for lack of a better word, scrambling. I'm still scrambling to grab a hold of the tail of the Holy Spirit and let him pull me to a higher level. Each day I pursue him because I know he knows the whole thing. The anointing has brought it brought accomplishment in Jesus' ministry. You know that. As your leader, it has brought much accomplishment in my ministry. My inability, my insufficiencies have been graced by God with an anointing that caused things to happen. You notice that Jesus' word became more gracious, and he caught all their attention. Again, ladies and gentlemen, the anointing removed all barriers, and the words he spoke penetrated deep into their hearts. That's what we got to get. I don't care if you get a chance to minister to two people. And you who are growing in your ministry, always act like you're ministering to thousands upon thousands. I'm working in the realm of the supernatural now. It's so important that I teach you about the anointing. We have to have more supernatural breakthrough. We must learn how to function more in the realm of the supernatural. That includes the fruit of the Spirit. That includes the gifts of the Spirit. That includes the three running together, love, faith, and hope. We've got to have those three running together, love, faith, and hope. If you don't have those three running together, you're not. And then grace and peace. Grace is the beginning of blessing, and peace is the ending of a real blessing. A real blessing leaves you in peace. So all of this has to do with the anointing. And I'm trying to say a whole lot of things to you this morning because I feel a presence. Jesus never had a beginning until the anointing came. Son of God, though he was, sinless from all record, yet he had no beginning until the anointing came. So that shows us how important the anointing is. You could be living a clean life, but if you don't permit the Spirit of God to anoint you, you're not going to have the effect that you should have. Now, in my noticing, some of y'all have been around me a long time. There are some unique characters in the LTMA, both male and female. Watch it, you think I'm not seeing, but I watch it. You're unique people, and God has a whole lot more for you. Dr. Faub, he's unique. God got a whole lot more for him, and he's pursuing it. He's grabbing at that anointing day and night. And the 12, Bishop Dan and Carlos, all of them are unique, Philip and Ron, and they're unique. All 12 of those men I got to lead, even the young man coming in to take a position, Jason. I see the uniqueness in them. All of you all have uniqueness. I watch you at these different meetings. You know I can't watch you if you don't be here. See, in March, I think it's in March, all of you all need to, Lord give you money and give you time off to get here. Internet is not the same as being in my presence. And so it's important that these till meetings, see, I might even pronounce that wrong, but I don't care. But you need to be in those meetings. You need to be present. You know, you sit there and say, well, I got to set 5-6 rows back. Man, nobody know I'm here. You know you're here. And the anointing. I did that many years to get where I am and to go where I'm going. When the anointing comes, people know it too. One turned into another man. That's what happened to Jesus. Even though Jesus is the unique Son of God, but that anointing, when he come down to John's baptism, came on him, it turned him into another man. He was transformed. And the people wonder, is not this Joseph's son? See, now he's moved to the spirit realm. Just like whoever your mom and dad was, both my mom and dad gone home with the Lord, but yet they could say this is William Thompson's son, but yet what is that he got? He's not operating from that. And that's what your people have to see on Sunday morning. That's what happened. You apostles, you prophets, you teachers, you evangelists, when you're traveling to minister, no matter how small or how large it is, that's what people have to see. There's a cry in the spirit world for anointed people. Why people don't receive the anointing? They become rebellious if they're being taught before the anointing arrives. Now, I've seen you all been with me a while. You all are sticklers. And I need to minister to many of you all personally, and I will do it. There's a cry and a hunger for real anointed men and women of God. Now, there's a lot of people, many people, think they are anointed, but they're not. They're anointed to a certain degree. But the level of anointing I'm talking about is there. I know men who has it, but it's few in number who has it. Some who are at the top of the line, they think they have it, and people think they have it, that does not have this type of anointing I'm talking about. As a family, I'm talking to you as a family. I'm not putting anybody down, but I'm just telling you. I don't know who else y'all are listening at and who you may be following on the side, but make sure it does not contaminate what we're trying to do. What I did is I followed one person. Once I found that person, I listen to the thing, read books, but that one person, I followed that one person, and I followed that person real close, and I got what I went after. That's very important. The 12 try to tell you the respect and the honor that you should portray in this organization. It is so, so important because there's so much more that God has for you. Even you who've been in ministry a long time, God has so much more for you. So let me conclude today by saying this. Jesus shot, S-H-O-T, from the rim of the ordinary to the extraordinary. And that's where Luke 4:14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee and went out a fame of him through all the region round about. So let's summarize in this impartation is, there's another level of anointing, and there's another level of anointing, there's another level of anointing, there's another level of anointing. It's the divine enablement, it's the fuel, it's the thing that turns obstacles and barriers into miracles. I'm teaching on the supernatural in my ministry now, and I'm pushing folk for miracles. Multitudes followed Jesus because they had seen miracles. Miracles, signs and wonders, as you look in Acts 4:29, when they threatened the church, they prayed that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy child, Jesus. And then you go to the fifth chapter, you see through the apostles' hand, many things were done. Jesus had stretched forth his hand first. So I'm probably going to begin to dab more into the supernatural, into miracles and signs and wonders, because these are beneficial to people who we're ministering to, you pastors, and all the other fivefold ministry gifts. It's very beneficial that we walk in the anointing of miracles, signs, and wonders. And nothing elementary about this. We have to dig deeper. The Bible talks about the deep things of God. And so as your leader and as your spiritual father, I've made my mind of I'm diving deeper into that realm of miracles, signs, and wonders. I have my intercessors praying along that line. We had a great prayer meeting last night. We had 128 people at prayer. And in our prayer meeting, brother, we pray. I got ladies leading my prayer meeting, and they do a good job. So my prayer for you as I close today is that the impartation that we've talked about today, that you take the part that you believe you need to work on and yield to the Holy Spirit. I speak over your life. I speak over your ministry. Any discouragement, you go read the first chapter of Joshua, and be not discouraged, be not dismayed for the delays. Sometimes the delays are divine delays. When the Lord said to the children of Israel, he's going to give them the land, but he said they had to inherit the land. I know that as a fact. And then there's a statement, I think in the 7th chapter of Deuteronomy, little by little. So if you're ancient and you're moving slow, that means God is preparing you for the next level. Every level you go to, you're going to have to be prepared for it. And I'm believing the best for you this year, this month, this week, this day. I'm believing that all of us are going to increase. I'm believing that to go back to a little side journey that I want to make sure you understand, the reason I believe people don't reach the levels that God wants to reach is they cannot stand correction. They cannot receive direction. Sometimes when they're doing something they think they're right, they cannot receive the protection. And these type of things I want you to be aware of. You must know if I miss it, I'll come back to you. Always did. I'll do that in my church. But my job is to give you direction, to give you correction, and also to give you protection. With those three, you can go on to promotion. And that's what we're all about. And if anybody asks you what this organization is about, improvement in your calling. And in the days to come, we'll see that. You don't want to miss this ministers' conference, because I'm going to be dealing with supernatural ministry, how to function in your ministry supernaturally. And I'm expecting some miracles, signs, and wonders, and some mantles to be dropped in this meeting there. And I'm just telling you ahead of time, I've been doing extensive praying. I'm really excited about it, and it's about to come forth. That's just next month. It's next month. In March, isn't it, in Montreal? Yeah, next month. So looking forward to seeing you guys in some meeting. The money coming conferences, you need to get into them. We're going to Hawaii this year, and in October we're going to Guatemala. So the Lord is opening some other doors. There's a South Africa door is cracked. We're just waiting for it to come wide open. We'll let you know in the near future. God bless you. God keep you. I turn you back over to Dr. Fall.
Thank you, Dr. Thompson. I'm going to lean right now on Reverend Donovan Montrell for our points of emphasis. Reverend Donovan.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Dr. Falls. Just a couple of announcements. First, I want to reiterate what Dr. Thompson was saying about the Ministers' Conference. It's next month, March 8th through the 9th. Services are at 10:30 to 7 p.m. I want to stress also that this will not be streamed online. So you either make a way to be there in person, or you have to make yourself available to the CDs and DVDs afterwards. But I stress that you do whatever you can to be in those services. You don't want to miss that anointing, that supernatural anointing that's going to be in those services. So once again, that's March 8th through the 9th, the first weekend in March next month.
We have a sign-in sheet, too. All of my meetings from now on have a sign-in sheet.
Dr. Thompson said from now on, all of his meetings will have a sign-in sheet for all the LTMA members. So when you come.
Let me explain it. This is not childlike. This is one of the way I train my church, train my people into being dedicated in my prayer session, my intercessory prayer. All of my leaders have to sign in. I don't permit none of my leaders, Ministry of Health Workers, not to come to prayer on Monday night. They all sign in. And so what I'm going to do now with LTMA, they may have had a rule already, but I want to make sure we have a specific rule that they can bring and put on my desk and tell me who was here and who was not here. And you might receive a call. I might ask you why you wasn't here. That's part of that correction, direction, and protection. Just saying you're a part of LTMA is not good enough. Just getting on the impartation call is not good enough. You've got to put full effort to do things out of the ordinary, and God will make things happen for you. Just a testimony. When I was traveling, pursuing my leader and what God told me to do, a lot of times I didn't have the money. God always made the money available. I've traveled with cars that broke down, stayed 6-7 hours to get it fixed. As soon as I got it fixed, I don't know whether it's going to handle it or not, took off, went anyway. I was not flying. I was driving a lot of the time. But whatever way it took, highway, byway, whatever, if I caught a boat, whatever way, a horse, a camel, I was going to get to that meeting. So you need to stop thinking small, stop making excuses for your ask God, and stop almost being selfish. Break out of that thing and recognize that you need to be around your brothers and sisters in these meetings to pick up Vera's anointing and be blessed by God. And I'm looking forward to seeing my treasure spirit great.
Amen. So make yourself available to that meeting or make the change that you need to be there. Also, the next vision impartation will be March 6th at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Mark it on your calendars, March 6th for the next impartation. Also, I want to stress to you all, if you haven't made yourself available to it up until now, please tune into the archive services on our Sunday morning services here with Dr. Thompson. He's been preaching on the supernatural, and the anointing has been through the roof. And so you do yourself an injustice to not make yourself available to that. So you can do that at EIWM.org. Also, do not forget about your circle calls this week. Make sure you're on time and attend those. Thank you, Dr. Forbes.
All right, Reverend Thompson, I'm clear as well. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Have a great day.
And she said she's such a sweet lady. I don't know how she ended up with Dr. Dale. But anyway.